What a wonderful Christmas day. I'm sure you've all been encouraged by the previous Advent sermons in the series that one of our wonderful elders has put together from Isaiah. Sermons, as Ben mentioned, on the Anointed One, the Shepherd, the One who rules and who gives peace. And now, for just a short while, we're going to wrap all those up into pure light. So this is both ironic and powerful. How can our minds, when we're thinking about light and Christmas, not link to the horrific events at the recent Jewish festival of light, the Hanukkah, on Bondi Beach? In Isaiah, God shares some very powerful words. It says in chapter 9, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And he soon follows that up with, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And as the child became a powerful adult, he declared, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I'm sure we all pray that Jewish people will see the great light and not just the lesser light of their Hanukkah. But we will just reflect on two aspects of light this Christmas day. Firstly, the penetrating power of light, and also then the pervasive or expansive power of light. Sorry, I could only get two P's, Brent, but there we go. John's Gospel rarely ever gets a run on Christmas Day. However, it starts off, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life," and listen to it, "that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness," and the translators have a great problem with this following Greek word. "Light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not," one translation says, "understood it." It's a sad reflection on the NIV. Another translation has, "but the darkness hasn't mastered it." Another translation says, "the darkness has not overcome it." You can see that there's tension between light and darkness, and you can see which one's the winner. And so you understand whatever that Greek word is trying to get across to us, okay? There it is. Darkness cannot master or get the better of or overcome light. Light, in fact, has mastered darkness, always has, always will. The second sentence of God's great self-disclosure says, "Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and God said, let there be light." And guess what? Light won over darkness. You'll remember old Simeon, who blesses the child when he is taken to the temple. And he says, "This child is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." Light and darkness are seen as being in combat in our Bibles and also in our lives. And Jesus presents us with the penetrating power and intensity of light. In John 3, he comments on the state of the human heart. We all know John 3:16, but three verses later, we're not so sure of the plot. And here it is. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of the light because their deeds are evil. Anyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. It's self-explanatory, isn't it? But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Jesus knows that the heart and the will are in combat with the light. We all see and know the struggle, and God knows which one wins. Even weak lights win over darkness. Early cars and motorbikes especially had the weakest headlights you can imagine. Joseph Lucas, who was the main producer of vehicle lighting in the early days, is to this day still referred to as the Prince of Darkness. One wag was writing that the light just falls over the front mudguards and barely hits the road. I've got to tell you, LEDs are a wonderful invention. In his rich autobiography, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, John Bunyan shares the almost crippling struggles with incessant sin and the deepest doubts in his soul. And the most powerful and disarmingly simple way to overcome whatever darkness or sin has you gripped like a vice is to stop looking at the blackness and deliberately search for the light. Even the smallest light you can recall from God's word. You know what? When we try it, the very next thing we hear is the owner of the dark side saying to us, "That's a lie." But God's word does not lie. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path as we move through darkness. In Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Even if the light of God's word is Joseph Lucas dull in your head and your heart, it will still dispel the darkness, falling over your mudguard and lighting your path. Darkness is on the run. The light wins, darkness cannot master it, but the deep love of darkness will rob your soul and your life blind. However, the intensity of the light is such that we find the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit transform our lives, and we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So how's this for a transformed life? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold. For God has said, "Let light shine out of darkness." He also made his light to shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. What a wonderful life we're privileged to lead. Just over 12 months ago, I felt like I was enjoying a foretaste of heaven. I was wandering aimlessly on my own through this huge display shed. It was just massive, and I was intoxicated by the awe-inspiring display of absolutely immaculately restored, fantastic old vehicles. Stunning Porsches, stunning old Fiats, Renaults, Mercedes, rollers, everything, motorbikes to bring joy to your soul, biplanes hanging from the ceiling old army vehicles, steam trains. It was just a foretaste of heaven for blokes. One black, ugly, odd cauldron caught my eye. It was about the size of an old Land Rover, and I began to read the plaque to see what this thing was all about. It was a World War II searchlight capable of a beam 12 kilometres into the night sky. My father had flown in Lancasters during the war. It took me several days before I could even tell Danny what that light did to me. The power of the light to expose, bring down the enemy. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, we're told, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve." That same searchlight of God's, as he searches our lives, is also a lighthouse, saving and rescuing and guiding. What a God! Another intense man-made light is the laser light. It's defined as being highly concentrated, narrow beam of light where all light waves travel in sync with each other, same wavelength, same direction. And the power of laser is, I think, unstoppable. Stunning power to cut through almost anything. But I know that the power of God's light is always unstoppable. Will you let his light, the gentle, the powerful, the piercing, or whatever it is, will you let his word direct your path, expose the enemy, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can conquer sin? For it's a Saviour we celebrate today. So from the intensity of the light, we turn very briefly to the vast expansiveness of the light. Listen again to Isaiah, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them." When you navigate your way to the bathroom in the wee small hours, you really appreciate any small shaft of light to assist you, don't you? Some wag once said that the sole function of the small toe is to clearly inform you where furniture has moved in the dead of night. Any light source, no matter how tiny, is extremely useful, isn't it? But beat this, 1 John 1 verse 5, "God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." And in John 8, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." In Acts 13, we read that Paul and Barnabas were answering the Jews rather boldly. And this is their bold statement. They said, "We had to speak the word of God to you guys first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honoured the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord spread through the whole region. Perhaps the most expansive display of the light is seen in the following way. F.F. Bruce wrote about the explosive growth of the early church and called his book The Spreading Flame. How apt. And look, 2,000 years later, no other kingdom has ever lasted this long, and yet this kingdom is still expanding. And you and I are part of that ever-expanding flame of light. We're talking floodlights now, aren't we? Turning nighttime sports arenas into daylight, and the darkness just cannot win. The gates of hell will not prevail against the armies of the Lord. I am, said Jesus, the light of the world. Yes, it is a narrow door, but as I understand it, he has squished a crowd that no man can number through that door, and he continues doing so. And he is the deep, deeply penetrating power where he wins over darkness every time. As Ben read, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. In Revelation 21 we read, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light. What a God. Can I ask you today, as you look at your decorative Christmas lights, that you'll remember that he is the light of the world and of heaven. Let's pray. Where would we be without your grace and your mercy and the light of your word and the depth of your love for us? We simply bow this morning to say thank you for sending your Son, our Saviour, for wretched sinners such as us. Thank you for this great grace and massive mercy and pure, all-inspiring, wonderfully enriching light that you are to us. Amen.